Yeah.
Discussion at this point.
Colleges have done that for years. I mean, there's always, that's why they tell you to show your work, because if you show your work, you can get partial credit. Because if you show that you actually understand how you're supposed to get the answer, that has value.
So I will gather some copies of some evaluations for next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Septic update, you all received that. Mary's going to work with Lady Drakowski to get some more information about those other soft costs, and do they specifically mean architectural costs, engineering costs, because we need a little more information on that.
Yeah.
Can we also ask him whether he thinks it is plausible to try to contract with one or both of the, well, there's more than two towns, but there are two that the majority of our students come from, with highway departments to perform some of the work that, like excavation, that's not particular to a septic specialist?
I don't think our towns will be able to do this.
Oh, okay.
No, they wouldn't be able to do this. It's and also, we're going to have to, one contractor already asked me if they have a chance to bid on it. I said, I'm sure you are, but the only problem I can see is your bond. You're going to have a bond out there. And that's going to put a lot of these locals out of the bidding race. So we got to be aware of that. Everybody's welcome to join it with it.
Okay, and why is it that the towns can't? Or do you think they have no interest?
I don't think they're going to have time for it.
Okay.
I really don't. You know, I think they'd love to help us out, but we'd like to have them help us with the blacktopping, too.
Yeah, it's not like they're sitting there with nothing to do, right? They plan their staff for what they need to do. I can understand that.
But I think that would be a project we'd more like if we have with blacktopping and not sewer.
All right, so we will keep you updated.
I'm not saying anything.
We'll keep you updated as soon as we get information. Make sure you get it. We'll try to get the process going, and then we get our committees organized.
We should have facilities meeting right away.
As soon as we know when they're here.
Okay.
Financial update. Mary is going to speak to the information that was in your packet, just so that everybody understands it ahead of time, in case there's any questions about it.
Okay. The auditors were here for 3 days last week. I think they were very pleased with what they saw. I know I was very pleased with the outcome. It was right on target. A couple of things that they brought to my attention, and I also bring to your attention, it's also on the cover memo, is that there were two, I should say there's more than two, but summer handicap funds from 2007 and 2008 we anticipated getting. We are not getting them. They were booked as a receivable. We need to make that adjustment. And you see that in the bottom part for $69,762.73. There's 2009, 10, 11, and 12 receivables out there that we're still trying to get our hands on. So that's an accounting entry that really does need to be cleaned up. They're pretty insistent on that. Everything else is pretty much straightforward. I'm very, very pleased that I think we can accomplish many things that we set out to do. First of all, the tax levy at 1.71 increase, which is what we told voters, and I'm very pleased about that, with an appropriated fund balance, as you see, at 2.1. We'd also be able to keep our 4% as allowed by law, so that's $819,000. Some of the other things that we could do is add to the bus reserve. By adding to the bus reserve, we'll be able to pay for our buses without borrowing and incurring legal and interest costs. It does pretty much deplete our reserve, though, after this year. So we're able to accomplish what we hope to do, but yet not have much left in. In addition to that, we're hopefully will be able to fund our septic if the board chooses to go in that direction, as opposed to a capital project. We have money in the accrued liability. It's not a reserve. It's an accrued liability called OPEB. It's other post-employment benefits line. And it's used to fund retiree health insurance. That amount over the years has been stable, and there have been different opinions on how much you should have in there. The most recent opinion is to keep a year to a year and a half of retiree benefits. We're a little overfunded in that. And the auditor's recommendation would be to use that help fund the septic. And I would agree with that. I think that that's certainly a good use of that money. What it would require is that at the time that the board makes that decision and we have a good estimate, the board would transfer money from the budget line for health insurance for retirees to a maintenance line, a 1620 buildings and grounds maintenance line. By board action, that would take the cash and move it over to the maintenance line. You would have to go through everything that we talked about, SED approval, bidding process. That doesn't change any of the concept of a capital project, but it does provide funding for you. You would get aid, if you do it correctly, you would still get aid regardless of how that's funded. But this would be an opportunity to do the project without borrowing money.
We would be able to get aid on this project?
If we do it right.
Without doing a capital project?
Well, it is a cap, it has to be a capital
project. It is
project.
A capital, yeah.
However, how it is, we have to go through everything with SED. Now, the problem we have, and I'm not sure how this is going to work out, is how much aid, because we may have to tie it to something in the building. That's why we need an expert and an architect on board that can work with SED to get those numbers put together. This is a start, and this is a chance to fund it. How much aid we'd get depends on how we tie it to a capital project.
How much percentage do we have to tie to a capital project, any idea?
There's a building capacity formula that's used, okay? And depending on how that formula is calculated will depend on how much aid we get back. So we need someone that has the expertise to work with SED and find out how much we have to do in this building to get aid on this project. See, I think that they will look at the septic system as an ancillary project.
Even though we're in essence creating a new one by rebuilding the old?
Well, and that's where I need to have an expert that will come in and give us a building capacity review. Okay, in the past, the way it has worked is you have to do something in the building to get a building capacity. Then you can do something outside the building, like a septic, as an ancillary, and I believe it was 25%. If your total percent was 25%, but really, don't quote me on that. We need someone that has expertise to work with SED to maximize our aid. We're very, very early in this stage. Yeah. This is only going to give you the funding to pay for it. How much aid we get is a whole different discussion.
Right. And we have to get it done regardless of whether we
exactly.
can.
But we want to maximize it. We want to get whatever aid we can. When the board is ready to move forward on this project, and up until now we really didn't have a number.
No.
Right.
We didn't have a number until Thursday or Friday.
Oh, yeah, last week. Thursday.
And I sent an email to Morris Engineering today, and I said, what do these numbers mean? Once the board is ready to move forward on this, then I can maybe make some calls and see if I can find out a building capacity. I would call SED. I would call maybe a prop project manager. I did reach out to Morris. I said, have you contacted SED? Have you talked to our project manager? Have you asked for a project number? All those questions on the aid part have to be determined. Mm-hmm. This discussion is purely on how we can pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How much aid we get on the other end is to be determined.
And what kind of timeline are we looking at?
Long time.
What about the Board of Health locking us out?
I don't think the Board of Health is going to lock us out, because what I've heard is this is not an emergency. We may view it as an emergency, but we have an alternate. We can bring in tanker trucks if we have to.
Tanker trucks to do what?
Pump it. Now, does it sound foolish? Yes.
You're talking about simply leaving using
a stopgap kind of thing.
Yeah.
And how much is that going to cost?
Oh, it would cost us a tremendous amount. I'm not saying it makes good sense.
No.
I'm just saying SED will not consider this an emergency. I just called them last week to find out where projects were sitting. 21 weeks minimum right now to approve a project. 21 weeks.
Well, I think we need to just do it then, because that...
Are all those emergencies?
No. They're so short-staffed.
I see.
21 weeks for a regular project. We aren't even close to submitting a project.
Exactly.
We're not even close to even talking about getting this project off the ground. I'm sorry to say, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Oh, my word.
But right now, all I'm talking about is, here's an opportunity to fund it without borrowing if you want.
Right, but if we also use that $200,000 to fund it, we're basically cutting ourselves down to the bone.
What 200,000?
The 200,000 that would be transferred into the capital reserve fund for the buses.
And I'm sorry, I don't follow.
Instead of bonding buses, using cash to buy buses instead of bonding it, mm-hmm. which we have authority to do from the voters.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've used pretty much all our extra money up.
But we would get.
I would. That would not
well,
be
I mean,
my
we have the 4% unencumbered.
Where
I realize, but.
But the 200,000 you would put where? Where would you put the 200,000?
Well, you could put it into the capital reserve fund, but not necessarily for the buses.
I don't know if we have the authority to do
that. We can create a repair reserve fund. And by the way, unfortunately, I was right last week. If you put that in there, it can't come out without voter approval unless you use it for what it was put in there for.
The capital, correct. Yes.
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 Now, luckily, last week, we discussed that we were going to decide what to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
Or else that could be used for buses and nothing else. And we wouldn't be having this conversation. So I'm a little unhappy that this turned out to be the case after our discussion last time around. But we can set up a repair reserve fund without authorization from the voters, and we could put it into that.
We certainly could do that. Well,
which can be used to pay for
your expertise.
Well, I'm reading right here from the, and this is what I thought from the first time I went on the board years ago when we created these funds. Repair reserve funds available to pay for repairs to capital improvements or equipment of a type that does not recur annually or at shorter intervals may be established without voter approval and funded with budgetary appropriations or other revenues not required by law to be paid into other funds or accounts, may be expended without voter approval in cases of emergency pursuant to approval by 2/3 of the school board.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you. My guests, I would question and I would want to ask to see if that would become aidable money. My experience is repair reserve money does not become aidable money. But you know, I'll be happy to look into that.
But where do you want to put the other money into?
Bus reserve and then use the money from the OPEB.
And where's that going to go into in order to be used?
The OPEB money doesn't go anywhere. What happens is money is now in the budget line item for health insurance for retirees. If the board would like to do that, it's a simple budget transfer from a 9,000 health insurance code to a 1,600 repair maintenance code. There's no reserve money.
And that was in the neighborhood of 600,000.
Correct. That's approximately what our annual retiree costs are. It's about 620,000.
Okay.
So it's just taking us, and then we pay the retirees out of OPEB. We pay the health insurance out of this accrued liability OPEB money.
But
so there's no
Of the 4%. Unencumbered funds that we're allowed to retain, which
mm-hmm.
we do every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, we try.
Yeah. This is pretty much the only extra money we have. It's the money that we would use to pay for the buses and this.
Well, and we have some other reserves that are out there on the books.
We have tax certs, which you're suggesting taking out some of too.
Right. Approximately 50,000, I would recommend.
Right. And the other ones that we have are not, I'm assuming, not extravagantly overfunded?
No, I think they're adequate. I think that I think we are in a good, very good financial position. And again, certainly it's up to the board. My recommendation would be to not borrow if we don't have to. And I think we can achieve that unless we went into a major capital project, which would include a number of things that would require a voter approval, such as pavement and anything else the board would like to see.
Ordinarily, I would agree with you, but the problem is if we borrow for buses, you're talking about short-term borrowing. If something serious goes wrong and we borrow as a capital project, you're talking about 20, 30 years. And we pay a heck of a lot more money over the life of that bonding. And it also delays any response to anything that goes wrong badly. I mean, suppose I don't know what, I mean, we didn't plan for the boiler to go bad. Suppose that one of the wells goes dry and we have to redo it. Suppose anything. I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming the septic system over there is in good shape, but that's a separate system. And that's...
You over here.
Over here. I always do that. I always get turned around here. I'm sorry. I'm just a little nervous about... You know what? Because if at the end of the year, things are fine and hunky-dory, we can pay off the bus bonds, and it will have cost us very little. You can always pay them early, can't you?
It depends on how they're written.
Okay.
I would say probably yes.
If we...
it certainly is up to the board. This is my recommendation. We do need to look more into the idea of the capital project, how much aid we'll get back, but this is an opportunity to fund it. $200,000 would keep us current with the buses. If we have a major emergency in many places, a boiler or whatever, I think it's going to be much more than $200,000. But again, it's certainly the board's decision. We're in really good shape. I think I'm very, very pleased we're able to do what we have. We're having this conversation at all,
yeah.
That we have money to talk about
to
do with it. I think that's we're in probably a rare position compared to many, many school districts in the state to have to say, oh my, what are we going to do with this funds? You know, we have need. We certainly have need. We have needs for buses, and we have need for the septic system. And we have 4%. A lot of districts aren't able to retain the 4%. Keep our tax levy at 1.7. So this is a great discussion, and you have opportunities and decisions to make. I'm just giving you what my recommendation is.
I understand. I'm just trying to get extra information,
mm-hmm.
because other districts may have at one point been in this place and then something bad happened and you very quickly are not in this place, and that's what I want to try to make sure doesn't happen to us. And if you, I understand what you're saying about the bonds, can you do bands for buses or no?
Yes, you do bands.
So if you do bands, you could definitely retire them after a year.
They're 5-year bands.
They're 5-year? You can't do 1 year?
Well, they're 5-year, they're renewable.
Renewable each year.
Yes.
So you could simply not renew them after the first year and pay it off, right?
And we're in our last year of our bond right now.
Yes, I think we have 1 year left on our current ban.
So that money...
I mean, this is not my area of expertise. That's why I'm asking.
That money after next year will be freed up, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pay for those even. So if we had
that's
to, we
true.
Could do
that,
it.
That is a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Because we will have money in our budget line to pay for additional debt if necessary, because we will be retiring current bands, because we've been able to fund our buses over the last few years.
I mean, you say freed up, but suppose the health insurance goes up 20% next year.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all assuming nothing changes, and something always changes.
But right now, a standalone septic is non-aidable.
I don't believe it is, but we may be able to tie it to something in the building of modest proportion to make it work. I need to find that out if that's the direction the board's going to go. Right now we're focused, up until this point, we didn't really have a number. Now we have a number of that way.
And what kind of expert do you have for the advice first? Do we have to hire somebody?
I'd probably call SED.
Okay.
I would probably call SED first and see if I can, I have a few people I can think I can call up there.
All right.
And just say, you know, we've got a project, a potential project, and, you know, how does the building capacity ratio now work with this type of project? Maybe things have changed. Maybe we can tie it into a door or something. I don't know. I need to research that. One of the questions he may ask is, are you going to borrow? Are you going to pay cash? Well, here's a discussion.
Are we allowed to start even?
Start?
To start the project? To start expending funds?
No.
No.
No. So if we try to do it through a building project, then we're basically either going to have to waste a lot of money, because whether we say that to the state or not, we can't have those kids playing on the fields in the spring with the way it is. I mean, he made that perfectly clear that that's not safe. And so either we write off a season, or we do it. Or we pay money we don't have to, to try to keep an unoperational septic system from having to bother working and hope that the rain doesn't make it float to the top anyway.
Well, we have to start with building project number. And once we get started, then we need to get an architect and an engineer, and I'm not sure if Morris has got the qualifications that they require, and I know that they have expertise, but I don't know if they have what SED's looking for to do all the plans and specs and to move forward on that.
Well, I'm thinking Mary, what Judy might be getting to, I don't know, is the fact that it's an emergency, so if we want to just go ahead and do it with the funds that we have and not worry about state aid, we wouldn't have to go the route of going through.
Because once we've made it.
You have to have, we still have to have the state approval to do work on a building.
But it's not a building. We just got done saying.
Well, on a facility. You have to have SED approval when you're doing work.
That's what I was trying to.
On the school facility, whether you get aid or not.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I thought Judy was trying to get at.
And we can't say if we're paying cash that this is an emergency, that you are going to sit here and cost our taxpayers extra money. God, you got to love government.
So
we're not allowed to just do something.
No, not to this.
We had to get state approval to replace the boiler. We had to get state approval to replace the doors. We have to get state approval to.
Yeah, pretty much. $10,000, I believe, is your threshold. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get aid, but you have to have state approval to do work to a public.
If you're not asking for aid, I would imagine that would make it considerably quicker.
No.
You're still 20.
You still have to go through the paperwork.
Can we just talk about the emergency part of it again?
This is insane.
I know it's a project, I get it. It's a project that has to be done. But what we did was we moved the kids. We didn't have the kids play on the field in the spring, and we won't have them play on the field in the fall. And that's it.
Or next spring.
Or in the spring. That's right. I mean, it's not great. We don't love it. But it's not like a crisis, I don't think.
And that's why they would not approve it as an emergency.
Yeah. Right.
They would say there's another solution for you. And even we had the discussion that what if our septic failed? Well, bring a pumper truck and pump it every day. Yeah, now, does that make sense? I'm not saying it makes sense. But that's their solution.
That's the way the state would look at it.
That's right. That's their solution.
But you have to involve them.
All right. So what now? You call SED.
And we can't contact a representative or anybody to try to.
I can do that. I can call them tomorrow.
We can't contact a representative or senator or anybody and say, you're really going to cost the taxpayers of the district.
We tried to do this a couple years ago.
Another project. It's a slightly different world now. Wasn't it a couple of years ago?
But I still give Mary Taylor to call the SED tomorrow, get as much information as possible on how we can do, and what's the minimum amount we have to do on the building so we get aid.
Sure.
I
can do that.
Not that I want to spend any more money, but if we can get aid back and help take offset.
I think
both.
We're going to have to do the same process whether we get aid or not. Yeah.
Well, no, because we're going to need to do an awful lot of work to determine what might be able to fix, and then send that out to bid, and then say so. It adds a lot more over.
Yeah, but you need an SED project number before you even do that.
But the thing is, we got to get the process going. You have to start.
And
then it's essentially two separate projects going out at once.
Before you know anything, you got to get a project number and then pose the question. Okay, what would we have to do to get aid? Right. And it may not be worth it. You may say, no, we don't want to do that. Don't want to go that direction. We're paying cash. We're not getting aid. And that's a choice. But at least you'll have the information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to mislead anybody. We get the number.
We get on our docket. We get or whatever, and we get the wheels turning.
Exactly.
So that we get the process going, because otherwise it's going to be that much longer. We're going to be tied up in getting fields somewhere else and so on.
I mean, that's where you got to start. You got to start with your project. Get Morris on board, see what expertise they have and what they can help with and what they can't.
If it takes this long, why didn't we apply for a number earlier?
But we never had any figures.
They want details? We can't give them details. We don't know if we're going to throw something else into it. We have no details to give them.
Getting the project number is simple. The question is what happens after the project number. And we didn't have anything to give them.
That doesn't take long, all right.
To say what we're going to do. Because after the project number, then you move forward with your plans and specs, and that's where we were, trying to figure out what we're doing. Who's drawing up the plans and specs, what they're going, what the solution is, and that was just decided or looked at recently. We just got that information on Thursday or Friday,
right,
what the solution, there our solution was.
But if we're going to add something else to it, we are now going to prolong it more.
Yeah, but like I say, she gets a number and she finds out that it's not worth us getting aid for, we can just say we're going to do a septic alone. That's it.
Well, how can you find out if it's not worth it? I mean, if you're going to say, what would you need to do this?
I think it's fairly easily because it used to be based on pupil capacity. Right now, there's no pupil capacity on the field. All right.
Right.
What do we have to do in the building to get a pupil capacity rating in this building? I don't know. Maybe we can't.
But that's what I'm saying. How are they going to tell you if they don't know what we need done?
Well, it might be security cameras, something on entry of the door. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Upgrading the computer system doesn't qualify.
Maybe.
Since we have to do that anyway.
It might.
Some technology has come under some Excel project.
If you're doing infrastructure, I would say yes. But
I mean, it's going to need wiring and everything else.
Wiring. So that's a possibility. But I don't know. I don't know until now. We have a number.
Now we have a number. Let's ask.
And now we have a recommendation of what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Now I can go to SED and say, okay, how would this work for aid? Now, either way, it still has to go through SED for plans and specs and approval. You just can't do it.
I do understand. I just think that we actually have to have something to give them as an example of what we might like to do to find out whether it would make it worthwhile or not.
Yeah, and I can pose those questions when I talk to them. I can say, well, what if we did some infrastructure on a computer wiring?
Mm-hmm.
What if we did a new entry door? There's been some discussion of entry door at the high school or EBIS. Mm-hmm. You know, what would it take to get us there? I could even say, what if we wanted to do a bigger project and did some paving? I mean, I don't know. I could throw ideas out there and see what kind of response I get.
I assume the paving doesn't count because there's no pupil capacity.
I would assume it doesn't count either. But it doesn't hurt to ask the question.
Never know anymore of a state. What's covered, what's not.
I understand that logic apparently doesn't have anything to do with
anything federal government or state governments.
But that's the process.
Okay, so let's ask some questions.
I can do that. However, if we're going to we need to set the tax levy, and if the decision is to put money in the bus reserve or into any other reserve, that must be done before the tax levy is set.
Right.
So that's up for consideration. I, as far as the buses, if you have any questions, we had a bus bid of surplus buses. That's on the agenda. We're selling some buses. We had the bus that was released last year. We bid that, and we have a response of $78,500 to purchase. And then we also have a bus that had a motor that you were talking about. And because the bus lease is estimated at over $20,000 per year, that has to be bid as a lease. So we got three things going for buses right now. You have a bus purchase, a bus sale, and a bus lease. So.
And what was the amount we asked for permission to bond?
$206,300.
So that's all we can put in.
Is the $206,300. And then we have $34,000 in fund balance for the trade.
And that was already authorized to be put in from a prior year.
Yes. That was the 30.
Like last year, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we leased of us last year.
So we can put in the 206,300 and we have 30, so.
So, you know, that's my recommendation. We will clean up the summer handicap. We'll be doing that. We will encumber the $50,000 for the legal fees that are there with your permission. And again, my recommendation is to take the $620,000 from the OPEB. And we don't have to do that right now. And that can be a flexible number. I mean, if we find out it's a little less, a little more, we decide to borrow down the road for the septic, it's here. We don't need to do anything with it today. That money is sitting now in the budget to pay health insurance for retirees.
What is our cost per year?
About $620,000. for the retirees.
Then how is it okay to take 620,000 out? That only leaves 300,000.
No, we have 1.5. We have
1.5. Oh, balance will be after, okay. Okay. It
so
says balance no
PEB
will be.
More.
I thought you meant without that. Gotcha.
Yeah. A little more in the reserve than the auditor would like.
That's fine.
What my rationale with that is, right now we're paying 11 months health insurance. So someday down the road, we may have to pay the 12th month.
Right.
That's around 300,000.
Right.
So that would take care of that, still leaving a year of retiree health. So, like I said, this is a good discussion because we have options that we can consider.
Yeah.
Our health insurance this year, by reading, so Pam for giving looks pretty well, but they're going to still be able to give us a discount they gave us.
Health insurance?
Yeah.
You're looking at
NYSERDA. NYSERDA, right, but in the past, what we've been reading, they're still going to be able to give us a discount, like 11 months.
From both?
Oh, yes. That's DHIC, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They have approved that for this coming year. They approved it in June.
All right, okay.
Yeah, for the following year, and their fund balance at DHIC is very healthy, very healthy.
Okay.
So that looks very positive for going down the road.
Okay. And
I know it's a lot to digest, and I'm sorry if it's confusing. I wish SEDs would make it easier, but they don't. And. I understand completely when you say, well, you know, it's our subject is failing, we need to do something. They
now.
Don't consider that an emergency. The emergency is if your roof caved in and there's, you know, you couldn't use the building.
Use the building.
It's,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I worry about that with these heating controls and everything else. This is a building project that's not very old, and I anticipate a lot more problems down the road.
Well, we had the roof blow off and got that taken care of through the insurance company.
Right.
Most
Does
of them, right?
Anybody have them. Any questions? I know I threw a lot at you. An awful lot.
No, just haven't gotten my stomach.
No, I've been reading the report, you know, Jerry's and now yours and whatever. I'm going to pretty much vote how you asked me to vote. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your recommendation.
Yeah, I think your recommendation. I mean, I agree pretty much with your recommendation. I'm not one that likes to borrow money if I don't have to, and I think that's a very solid way to go. But I understand where Judy's coming from too. So,
oh, certainly.
But,
okay. I do like proposal to lease another bus this year.
Yes,
yes.
And
okay.
We're going and we've got the bid specs to go out to bid for that. I agree. I think that's a good recommendation.
And there is a back on that lease.
The lease.
That's what I was afraid we
yes,
weren't.
Yes, there is
guess,
there
so
is
I'm
a back on the lease. You know, we'll put it out to bid, get our best price on that lease, and move forward.
I just want to talk to Jerry some more about the warranties onto it. The one was a three-year, 60,000 miles. On one part of the bus, another one's a 5-year, 100,000 mile. I just want to talk to him a little more about that. And then he said something about there's the warranty. We get the extra warranty because we're leasing 1 year. It doesn't start for a year of purchase.
Year two, yeah.
So we get the extra year in there,
yeah.
And they're putting extra rust proofing, which gives us an extra year and 2 years on the body.
Yeah.
So I do like all of those.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's done his homework. And I think that's a good plan to do that bus lease.
So each year, I think we're going to start looking at this. Someone told me yesterday that Wavengers is starting to do this. They're kind of catching on too, the lease plan, especially since it's aidable.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah.
That would be aidable under transportation aid.
Yeah. And the retirement fund.
Yes.
Last year, I thought I was reading about where on one hand, auditors wanted us to have 100% funding, which if we did 100% funding, we'd be way, way over
Absolutely.
Balance.
Absolutely.
And now they make a recommendation that we take some out of it.
Yeah,
so,
you're absolutely right. Well, there's when you see your audit in October, there's going to be a funding in there for the projected liability for our retirees from here until life expectancy. And it's millions and millions and millions of dollars.
That's the actuary.
And it's, yeah, exactly. It started with Enron. Remember when Enron collapsed?
Oh, yeah.
And it said, well, wait a minute, on the books, didn't have all those liabilities for all these people when they retired. So anyway, they started doing that with public schools.
Yeah.
Where they, well, everybody,
yes,
accounting-wise, okay, they said you had to put on your books whatever it would cost you for your retirees until their actuarial date of death.
Yeah.
Okay, so every year we have to go through this exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It costs us money to come up with a number, and it's, I think, 15 or 18 million or,
yeah,
some ridiculous number. And then there was a comment, well, you should do that. You should
right,
start funding that. And then they came back with, that doesn't make any sense, because you can't logically do that. Why would we tax people so much now to fund that when it won't happen for 20 years?
Right.
You know? So they kind of pulled back on it. So they make you put it on the balance sheet. But they don't make you actually put cash in the bank behind it anymore.
Right. But the way we got this amount was,
when they first started,
they kept
saying you're going to have to fund it. You're
right.
Absolutely right.
Right.
And that was probably, about 8 years ago,
yes,
10 years ago or so. And you're absolutely right. They first said, well, wait a minute. You've got to put it on the books. Now that it's on the books, you've got to fund it. And then they started saying, and that's where the money came from, started doing what they said, you've got to fund it. And then they started to pull back and say, that doesn't make any sense.
There's not enough money in the world to fund for every school district and town and county and state.
It's not possible for you to do it. So now they've come back with a recommendation on this money to say, we'd like to have a year with the retiree benefits. Instead of
1 year?
1 year.
Okay.
A year to a year and a half.
Okay.
Instead of for the next 20 years.
So that it's a rotating fund.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense.
That works.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of the history, but you're right, Bill. That's what happened. And when you get your report in October, you will see we're very negative in one place, because if you put that 15 or 18 million in, whatever it is, we don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Okay.
I'm really confused.
That's the whole budget right there.
There you go. So, but that's where it came from. That's how it started. And up until this point, things that we just left it there, but now they're really saying you really need to start releasing some of that money. This, what a perfect time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good time
to use it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I have run this all by the auditors, and they're very pleased.
Oh, good.
Good.
They're very pleased because it addresses some of their concerns, and is a little bit of everything for the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Sorry, it's an awful lot.
Thank you so much for having me here. I missed everybody. But we're getting those tax bills out.
Please don't hurry.
Don't hurry. Yeah. The people who are getting them are not going to be happy about that.
The rates are good.
Okay, do you have any other? Okay. Now we move on down to consent agenda. Is there anything that anybody wants to be pulled before we... The motion?
Yes. 7A needs to be pulled.
Mm-hmm. 7A?
Yep.
Partnership agreement.
And, we don't necessarily need to pull 7A. I just want to make sure that the language that's on the actual resolution gets into this for the minutes, because there's pieces missing here and there, and it doesn't make quite as much sense as it should.
7E?
Yeah.
Wordy?
Yeah.
Is there anything else anybody would have concerns about?
No? I move we accept the consent agenda as amended.
Okay. Motion.
I second it.
Okay. Got a second.
What?
Okay. Any discussions on that? No? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any votes? The ayes have it. Okay. You want to discuss that one first, Judy?
Oh, 7A was just for Kristen. We need to vote on that separately.
Oh, thank you.
I move that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, we approve the agreement between the Tech School District and the Northeast Community Center for their after-school program at Eugene Brooks Intermediate School and Milton Elementary School for 2013-14 school year.
Okay, motion's been made.
Second.
And seconded, John. Okay. On discussion for that, I had asked Jim here to check on some of our costs at the building, because the community center is using a lot of almost the entire building. And I was concerned about the electric bill, heating and cooling. So I don't know if he found out anything.
No, I'll put it in your packet when you get it.
Okay. Because the reason I asked a few years ago, we had some concern about summertime usage and electric bills were high. Fuel were high in winter.
Right.
And now if we're going to be using office, you know, I don't want us to get cut too short either. So we just have to be end.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. That's my only concerns.
Now they have, Jenny did say that no one uses it during the summer, last time she was here.
Right, there's nobody in there in the summer.
But so, aren't they going to start using the offices though, right now?
Only during the school year.
Okay.
So, and we do need to monitor electric usage and make sure that there's not out of the ordinary. But, you know, I think it's a good deal for them. I think it's a good deal for us because somebody's there and it helps having a presence. It's a good deal for the members of the community. But, yes, certainly you want to make sure that you're not having negative effect.
And I have addressed in the past where they left lights on, but they've been doing a much better job. Yeah. The lights are off when they go by at night. I mean, our staff even checks in the morning. They go still check the building.
Good. I'm going to have a question whether our staff checks the building.
Mark sends someone up every morning, right?
Yeah.
Every morning.
Honestly, one thing I wanted to suggest is they're so cheap to get sensor switches instead. You can bypass them and turn it on while you're there. All you have to do is hit it when you leave. For the rooms, the light switches. I mean, it just senses whether somebody's in the room or not. Like we have in some of the bathrooms here. Okay. It might solve a multitude of problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that brings me to another question. Math works for John over there.
Okay.
Okay. So motion made. All in favor? Everybody? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Abstain.
Okay, motion's carried. Okay, now we're going to go down to E, the wording.
I hadn't meant to pull that. I just said we needed to incorporate that. So I thought that was, if we want to vote again, that's fine. There's just a little bit missing from the word from the wording of the resolution, that's all. So
you want to read it as you think it should be reworded?
Yep. Okay. Whereas a review of the tax certiorari reserve account has been completed, it has been determined that an estimate of the reserve indicates that the total amount of this reserve should be reduced, therefore be it resolved that an amount of $50,000 be reduced from the tax certiorari reserve account and be returned to the June 30th, 2012-13 transferred fund balance. It's really only where it says determined. There's a little bit missing in between has been completed and determined. It needs to say it has been determined. That's all it is.
That's all it is. Okay.
You want to take out completed?
No.
No, after completed.
The count has been completed and it has been determined. That an estimate of the reserve.
It has.
That's
you
all
would
that,
like
yeah.
it.
That's all that's missing. It doesn't quite make sense otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we don't need to vote on that since it's already done. Right?
The words aren't, you know, it's not like 2,000. It's like,
right.
Right?
Right.
So we'll just add it
like
in
a novel. It's
yes.
just three words.
Yeah. I'll be up in the office if you need me for a bit.
Great
seeing everyone.
Great
to see you. I'll be in touch with Jim. As soon as I get some information.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Please, I was rubbing sheep and taking down cows.
Taking down cows.
You gotta pull that rope, make it up.
Did that. Thank you, Mom, my sweetie.
Take care.
John?
Yeah.
One more, not to deal with John. About the lighting, I think we were talking about the Norton building. I had a few community members come through and say about the lighting in our locker rooms are left on during night. I didn't know if that was true or if we have an automatic shut-off switch in there. Can Judy brought that up? Can we have something like that?
I was in there the other day after the camp and I noticed that they were on and I took a quick look and it's the, I think they're on the, there's one of those switches we gotta stick a thing in. So I don't think they're on a sensor. And I don't think there's a switch. These are the ones, the high school that I think is where I was when I noticed this. So I'm not surprised, they are on like all the time.
Yeah, so is there any way we can get these shut off at a certain time?
There should be a way.
The maintenance staff should be able to.
Right now you say he's got a key to turn to the wall, push to the wall and turns, right? So the kids can't go up and down with it?
It's one of those, it's like a little fork thing you stick in and you just.
Right.
They're a pain in the neck, to be honest with you.
I believe it.
And we changed the lights in the gym from those to regular switches, and it seems to have worked well. It's very easy for me or anybody else to turn them on and off.
Okay.
What you want to do in the locker room is another thing. The motion thing sounds real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll send Mark a note on it.
Okay. I know in the past, so at night, especially when it gets dark out in the evening and stuff, kids were in there horsing around, shut lights off. They're in the far corners of the locker rooms, you know.
Right.
You don't need anybody tripping over a bench, getting hurt, smashing their head.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the motion detector sounds good, and you're right. The more I think about it, they are always on.
Yeah.
And they're not just like motion, because you could just be there.
It's heat too.
Right?
Yeah.
It's somehow they know.
Yeah. It's an infrared sensor, so it senses should sense body heat and motion.
All right, okay, that's my concern. Thank you. Okay, we're going to Board of Education.
Yep.
Needs and goals.
Okay.
Is there something?
No, I put that under
goals. You all, everybody has a copy of our goals we talked about.
I'm so sorry I wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens.
Do you have any? You read them, right?
I did.
Okay,
it's a lot.
It is.
Yeah,
it accomplished a lot. What we accomplished a lot last year.
So I don't
added a couple things.
I don't know how I mean, we're going to raise the test scores 10%. What is the action I should take right now to make that happen? And I will go do it.
Hire good teachers, give them support.
Right, we've already started with that. We've given the first 2 days of school for instruction. We're supporting our, we have at least 4 or 5 elementary and middle school teachers who are taking on leadership roles to help move us into the adoption of the ELA modules. So there's a lot of that going on. We didn't go to literacy coach, but we're doing it differently. We're supporting them with summer training. They have agreed to be turnkey trainers. So I don't know if we'll make the 10%. I thought long and hard. That's a big jump. But if we don't make it, it won't be for lack of trying. Rosanna Hamm, we made her. We doubled the time that we had her here. And she has been in and out all summer working diligently to try and move us forward and prepare the teachers. We knew these low scores were coming. So we've not been idle. So
yeah, and it's not just us.
Yeah.
Right. And if we go with the administrative consultant, you are really giving the principals an opportunity to truly work with Rosanna to lead this endeavor forward. And everybody's on board, every single teacher, every single teaching assistant, teacher aide, everybody knows we need to move on it. But if we don't give them time to do it, we can't do it. So I know that that's a lofty goal, 10%.
I think part of attaining that goal, and I'm sorry I wasn't here either, but I mean, is just creating the positive attitude here that and the children will soak that up and try to do better. And I think we brought in new personnel, we got new principals. I think they're all positive things, and to create that positive atmosphere goes a long way, I think, to raise performance.
And the other unanticipated benefit is we have two full-time AIS teachers at the elementary building now, plus a teaching assistant. So that's one we didn't anticipate. So really,
I'm not sure what you mean, but we
when
didn't
we went from the two or the three sections of four sections of first grade
right.
to three sections of second.
Right,
that
right.
position that was going to be third grade.
Right.
It became
an extra, yes, and that's extremely
helpful.
We maintained
that. We could have come to you and said, hey, let's take some money out of the budget, but we didn't.
No.
We maintained it. Mm-hmm. So we've done, you know, we've set up the structure to really move forward.
Yes, yeah, so and you got new leadership, and I think that.
Gotten great positive feedback on that.
We're doing what we can. You all heard, when was it? I kind of had to shut it off the other night. Some big study, like that graduation rates, the biggest predictor is poverty and income level.
It's the chicken and the egg thing though too, and I don't think they think it through when they point that out. People who did not have a great education themselves are far more likely to be in poverty than people who did. If you don't have the wherewithal to help your child early, that child is going to start repeating the pattern. And it's why it's so important for us to get these kids early, because the ones that do need the help, you got to get in there and give it to them right away. You don't get a chance to make it up later on. But, you know, I never understand why they don't address that fact that it's simply a self-perpetuating problem. It's not, that's not rocket science. That should be pretty easy to figure out, quite frankly.
Well, it is. We don't have to take up a meeting with this, I know. But, there's Head Start, there's Pre-K. And I don't know how effective they are.
Well, I think your point just crossed my thought. There was no greater poverty than in the 30s, my parents' generation and whatever, they rose above that, and somehow it was the family unit, the family values that carried them through. And today, we try to put the band-aids on everything like you just suggested, and maybe there's another way to do that to be more successful, but we can only do our little bit here.
Basically, I'm aligned with these goals. I'm sorry I missed the discussion, and at some point, it doesn't have to be tonight. I mean, the Millerton Elementary building, that's interesting. You said all options, because I think that's like with the Aminia building, which happened right before I came in, but it was very important, I think, to sell that to a nonprofit, and we assured that it couldn't then be flipped over and somebody make a big chunk of change off of it. When you say all options, are you thinking that you would open this sale up somehow to?
Well, right now, what I've been talking to the town mayor and the supervisor of Millerton, they haven't report back in a feasibility study what they're thinking. They haven't had a chance to fully complete it. They want to talk to us within the next few months. But my feeling is right now, we're really going to have to consider marking it outside, because I don't believe they're going to be able to. The fund, with their cap on their budgets, I don't think they're physically going to be able to accept our offer of taking the building. So I think we're really going to have to consider getting some kind of a broker help us out, put a kind of value onto it. We'll mean we'll have to get a commercial appraiser in there to do this. And I think we're going to have to do this soon.
Okay.
I think we're going to unload that property.
I think so
sooner
too.
Than later.
It's time.
I think so too.
You know.
So, but yeah, I'm
yeah, and with Aminia, there's a difference between a nonprofit and a government. You can give it to a government for a dollar. That's not something that, generally speaking, is a good idea to do for a nonprofit, because the difference between those is,
I think
No, I mean, we have many fine nonprofits around. It has to be a sale.
Like a sale.
That's right. So, but still, I would like to see both of our communities be able to have these buildings. Because there's so many people in the community have come through these buildings, come through the doors, and go on to stay in the community to help build the community. They should have it, but if they physically can't afford it, we can't push it down their throats either.
The only thing I thought about afterwards is to have as a goal, address the septic system issue. That's not a goal, that's something we have to do. So, well, that was the only thing I thought, maybe that perhaps should not be there as that.
Well, that's the draft, I'm going to take that out of there. We're doing it, we have to do it.
Yeah.
But after talking to Mary, though, it is a goal. We have to.
But see, the very next one says, consider a capital project to fund the septic system repair and payment. I think that's reasonable as a goal. But I'm not sure saying address it is a goal. It's not optional.
It is our goal, though, to accomplish this year.
Okay.
Do you want to take it out or leave it there?
I think leave it there. I think
people
so.
Will hopefully will leave
I'm okay. I'm okay.
Leave it there? Okay. All right. And your committees, I don't know if you want to speak to that at all, or if you have anything to say on that, because we really have to get going on. We've got to have a facilities committee, we have to have finance and policy.
I just have, on the committees, I was going to leave both almost the same as last year. A couple I want to change. Chris, I'd like to talk to you, because you've been working more on some of the committees you want to change or not. And Chris, I'd like to know more about what you, I got you picked on a couple committees. I'd like to talk to you first, too, about that. Okay, and then we'll put them out. Judy, you had a couple different concerns, but which ones you want to be on, so I want to address those too, okay? John, I might, a couple different ones with you too, okay?
Yeah, so whatever.
Maybe I'll whatever you afterwards.
Whatever you decide, okay. Bill, you're in charge.
Well, I don't want to say I'm all in charge, but without you guys, not anything.
All right. Short executive session.
What's that?
You need a short executive session.
Okay, all right.
I have an other underboard guy. Sorry. The bus, the school bus thing down in Amina. So one thing I was thinking after the meeting last night is really, like, I want the kids to be safe. I don't personally care about Amina putting in sidewalks and parking. Not my issue.
Right.
And I'm not a part of that. I have no political thing with Amina.
Right.
So, you know, one thing, I don't know how it all played out, but I thought, oh, that makes sense why Bill's letter came back like that. Like, maybe there was, because Bill's letter was bizarre, right? Like, you told him what we thought, and he said, okay, great, and thanks so much for your input, you know.
Basically, he...
Right?
I gotta be careful.
So, okay.
Perhaps we can save that for executive session.
Regardless.
My one thing was, I said, why isn't the bus stop on
343?
Yeah, I mean, we let kids off the bus on 22.
I know. 343, that intersection is very dangerous. We had just through the intersection, just past Cumberland Farms, coming into town, a bus was hit by a truck a year ago, rear-ended. Not real bad where anybody got hurt, but rear-ended. So it's like, and also there's kids just this side of Cozy Corner. There's a non-parking about 100 feet from the curb, 100 feet up, going toward this red light. Now, they're not following that either. They're parking over there.
Yeah, they're parking.
So now the kids are walking around the corner.
I understand all that. I think, it's all the other stuff.
But they want us to move it off of Main Street, basically, which we did. So we took off the back streets. But also the town of Amina would like us to move it farther down the Camp Street.
Which doesn't resolve the issue at all.
No, it doesn't. So we're going to leave this bus stop where it is. Okay? So when you come around the corner, people can see the bus stop, the word is stop. The only concern I got right now is, which I addressed at a meeting for the board, that we're concerned because they have one parking place on the Cozy Corner side, which would be right about where our bus stop is going to be. But we're going to have a bus stop there early in the morning and then in the afternoon. So if they park here between them, that'll be fine. But the only thing is, what I have concern about too is, they're proposing a handicap parking there. And I said, how are you going to have a handicap if you have a wheelchair ramp come down? How are you going to drop it over top the curb? You can't. Jerry also addressed that. He says, we have a handicapped bus. If we drop it, if it hits the curb, it will not open up to anybody else. So they're going to have to decide what they're going to do there. But just beyond that telephone pole, so to speak, there's parking on the opposite sides of the sidewalk. Yeah. And when Jerry brought his bus down that one day, we were just outside walking around the bus. People were driving around the bus coming out of those parking places.
See, when that's
why...
Yes.
And the bus was lit up, so people were pulling into. It's not really a driveway. They can all... It's like cars line up like this.
Well, it is a driveway. There's a house. There's two houses there, and then they have parking for the cozy corner.
So how is that... What are we doing?
So we're going to keep the bus stop where we originally were, just this side of it.
But the kids still have to cross that,
No. No, they don't have to... No, they come around a corner off of three, come down from center of town, down around the corner right in front of Cozy, get on the bus right there.
Okay.
So they're not walking down.
There aren't any kids that live on the other side of the street.
I see. Okay, got it. Perfect.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
But we are still concerned about the intersection. Now, since we addressed that, Billy Flood has also sent a letter to the state requesting a flashing light for the intersection.
Great.
But I don't see, they're saying that they don't believe the state will agree with it because there's light less than so many feet up to this intersection.
Yeah, it is even a quarter of a mile. See, that's the only reason why, whether the curbs and the parking, etc., they contributed to making it a dangerous situation. That's the only reason it was brought up.
But
and I almost got hit again coming out today because there's people parked where they shouldn't be, past that sign. Did the guy see me coming? No. Could I see him coming? No. And he was going too fast. And I come out and all of a sudden someone is there. I had it. Step on the gas.
And we also discussed, brought up maybe a crossing guard.
Yeah.
But that would be, who's responsible? Would the town be responsible to pay to fund the crossing guard? It would be school. I don't believe it's the school. I believe Norton used to have one, remember, there on the intersection by the red light?
Yeah. Funded by the town.
That was paid for by the town.
The village.
Yeah.
So we left that, and they're going to discuss it amongst themselves there.
That sounds like a good idea.
I think it has to be, because I don't think Weebatuck has any authority to stop.
Thank you.
A law, they passed their new resolution, no parking on Dollar General side, and only one parking on the Cozy Corner side. And then that goes to the state, takes a long back, before they can put signs up or markings on the curbs.
Okay.
So, but they're addressing that. But we just brought basically to them of our concerns at intersection.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy.
And I made it clear, just because I had the business there, that I wasn't there for my business. I was there because of the school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, all right. Okay, anything else under other? No? Okay, public comment? Okay, thank you. Okay, move to exec session?
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Motion made second. All in favor?
Aye. Okay. I guess.